Our scripture reading for today is found in the book of 2 Timothy. We're going to be reading chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, and verses 16 through 18. Paul writes this, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing. At my first offense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." The word of the Lord.
Yeah, you all can hear me. You know, we've had a weird tech day, so I just wanted to make sure before I started talking. Well, I should say in advance, you know, happy Halloween, everybody. I love Halloween. I know that Halloween has always had this weird relationship with the church. The church sometimes has never exactly known what to do with Halloween. At first blush, Halloween feels like, well, it's like the holiday of kind of the other side, you know, isn't it? So why are we celebrating it? But Halloween itself has Christian roots, many Christian roots. In fact, Halloween, I think many of you know, is just a one-word version of what the holiday is actually All Hallows' Eve. That Halloween, November the 1st, is All Hallows' Day, a holiday within the Christian, holiday might not be the right word, but a recognition within the Christian church of martyrs that had passed on before. And the church, recognizing, the church did this very early on, is that recognizing how certain cultures celebrated different times of year, specifically into this late fall time, they put All Hallows' Day, because people were recognizing the dead and spirits and the unseen world. And so this was the church's way of kind of celebrating along with the culture. And All Hallows Day was really designed to be a recognition of those saints, those martyrs who had given their lives in the preaching of the gospel, similar to what we just read from the Apostle Paul. People, the way that they used to, I hate to use the word celebrate. I want to mark it. Let's say the way they would mark it is that they would dress up and typically dress up as biblical martyrs that had gone on before and so in that sense would keep them alive. Then they started dressing up as ancestors that had gone by. You all see the Day of the Dead celebrations. That's what that is. It is dressing up as ancestors that had gone on before. And if you had seen the movie Coco, you know what that's all about, is that that's a way that we remember those people that have gone on. Because it's one of those things where on Halloween, we face some of those things that we fear more than anything else. And there's very little that humans fear more than our own mortality. And so we celebrate. We play, we dress up as those things that we are afraid of. A lot of our traditions come out of fear. You see, how many of you carved a pumpkin this year? Yeah? Really? How many of you seen a pumpkin this year? All right, thank you. Jack-o'-lanterns, the tradition of jack-o'-lanterns is because it came from a lot of cultures with kind of carved scary faces in gourds and things to ward off evil spirits that were said to be roaming around on that night. And jack-o'-lanterns were specifically a specter named Jack, truly. A guy named Jack who was, of course, rejected from heaven, but he was so bad that hell rejected him too. And so he was, you know, walks the earth and every All Hallows Eve would be seen walking around, so you carve a scary face out of a pumpkin so that Jack just passes you by. You know, so many of those traditions, again, come out of those things that we are so afraid of. But I couldn't help but think about the idea of masks and costumes. Because I love dressing up. I don't love dressing up 364 days of the year, though some might argue that I do that. But on Halloween, it's so fun to create a character, somebody that you honor, that you enjoy, and you can kind of enter into this persona. And it's so much fun, and we do. And Carol and I tend to go to New York City. We'll walk in the New York City Halloween parade. It's so much fun. We have a great time, and everybody's dressed up. My concern today was how many of us dress up the other 364 days of the year. How many of us are wearing a mask or a costume in our regular life? And this is what I mean. Outside of the obvious fear of death and ghosts and ghouls and spooks, there are real things that we are afraid of. I think about fear of rejection. How many of you have ever had that fear in your life, a fear of rejection? Well, I just happen to have this little mask here. Admittedly, most terrifying mask in the world is this one. You know, because the other things, like a mask, I know its intent, right? This one, I have no idea. I have no idea what the person wearing this mask has planned. So that makes me more nervous than anything. But, you know, within who we are, we do. We carry all these actual fears. Like, I'll write in here, the fear of rejection. Anything else? What else? What's real fears we deal with?
Failure.
Anybody relate to that? Fear of failure? Absolutely.
Success.
And fear of success. Look at that. That's some depth coming from Angela there. What else? What are real things that we deal with? Dying, absolutely, that's a real one. Yeah, fear of our own mortality or the loss of the people around us. Yeah. Go ahead.
Poverty.
Absolutely. Yeah, the fear of losing everything. You know, we hoard so much. Are we going to have enough? Are we going to be enough? Anything else? Angela? Anything else? Fears? Embarrassment. Thank you. Absolutely. Anybody have, like, so afraid of being embarrassed that you have dreams where you're embarrassed in your dream and you wake up in a cold sweat? Like, oh my goodness. Yes. Usually it's trying to get to class in high school or something like that. Any other one?
Loneliness.
Thank you. That is a real fear and a real problem. Yes. You know that even in the UK has a Department of Loneliness in the government trying to solve the problem of loneliness for its citizens because it's so significant. Yeah, you have loneliness. Anything else that I'm missing? I don't want to move on.
Heights.
Yes. Though I have to tell you, I kind of have that. But I realize it's the fear of falling from the heights. I'm actually good with it if I can stay there, but it's the descent that is more terrifying. Yeah, we have real fears, you know, and these are the things that, you know, it's fun on Halloween when we dress up as all kinds of things and go out as characters. But there are these real things that we carry on a regular basis. We know that there are things that we lack. And we are so afraid that we are the only ones who feel this way. We are the only ones that have a fear of rejection or a fear of success or a fear of death, or the only ones who ever get embarrassed. And we're so afraid that everyone else is going to find us out. What if you found out that I'm really not a great pastor? Then I lose my job. I'm not saying that you all think that. I'm just saying, you know, there's a general fear that one day you'll all find out that somehow I've managed to fake it all these years, and I'm pretty good at it. Faking it, that is. We do. We deal with these fears. In our first scripture reading, you heard these two characters, right? One was a Pharisee who was the religious guy. He was the guy doing everything right. And then the other was a tax collector, which nobody argues. This was a guy who had done everything wrong. The Pharisee stands up and does his prayer, and the tax collector does his prayer. Both the prayers are much different. I would argue, though, that both of those guys knew this. They were fully aware of the things that were wrong. I can promise you the Pharisee was fully aware of his own fear of rejection, his fear of failure, fear of being found out. And I think that that's largely what that prayer was about. Do you ever work so hard to convince yourself of something as you're trying to convince other people around you? The Pharisee gets up and runs down this list of reasons why God should accept him. That why he should be carrying the position in which he's carrying. Like, God, I am this good. I fast. I not only fast once a week, I fast twice a week. That's how awesome I am. I give regularly. And he runs down the list of things that I would argue were masking the reality of his own heart. He knew his position before God. He knows the things that are inside of him. And it terrified him. Whereas the tax collector walked in and knew exactly who he was and decided to take off that mask. If I was going to flip it around and I was our Pharisee, you know, I could write things like fasting on the outside as a way that the Pharisee covered up what was really inside. Prayer might have been one of those things that he put out there. Giving. You know, he was a super, I'm just going to write religion right on the top. Religion was one of those things. You know, but as far as loneliness and that fear of rejection and failure, I'll ask again. I like this group effort. What are some things that we do in our culture? How do we hide our own fears and project something different in our world? Oh, yes. You hear that? Ultra-volunteerism. Absolutely. Sign up for every single thing so that maybe the parents in our community see how what a great dad or mom we are. Because, of course, we're signed up for everything. God forbid we go, no, I don't want to do that. Because, and that's why in our culture we go, instead of saying, no, I don't want to do that, we say, I'm too busy, right? Busy, I'm going to write it. Busy. Busy is a mask we wear in our culture, isn't it? Busy is a way that we are trying to demonstrate to the world that we are still valuable, but we can't do something. You know, we say, well, we're really, really busy. It masks the fear. Anything else? What else? What do we do? Pretend. We just pretend. Yeah. How many of you, when you walked into church one day, and people say, hey, how you doing? And you say, oh, good. I'm so good. Everything's great. I've done that. I did that today. Everything's not so good in my home. Not because of my home. Things are great in my home. People are suffering. But I know how many times I said today, I'm doing really great. How about you? Yeah, we do that. And there's all kinds of status things too, right? Some of the clothes we wear, cars we drive, house we live in, all kinds of things. This is the mask that we wear. And we're trying to say that everything's okay. And when everything is not. And when we enter into kind of the Halloween of our lives, we find ourselves, I'm not going to put this on, that'll terrify everyone. This is the mask we wear. And this is the reality of our lives. You know, the call of the gospel, as the Apostle Paul was writing, the call of the gospel is one that God calls us to take this mask off, turn it around, let's see your real face. God says, I want to see your real face. Like I said to the kids, you take your costume off, you're my favorite. Because it's really true. That's the voice of God. Take this off and be who you are. Because the Pharisee who was proclaiming all the stuff, the problem is that this isn't your real face. God only wants to see your real face. A Pharisee could say, I fast twice a week, I do all this stuff, I'm this or I'm that. We can say, you know, I have a nice house and cars and my family is all well dressed and I'm volunteering for lots of things and, you know, I'm very active and I'm doing all this stuff. And God looks at us and says, but I want to give you so much more than that, because that's running out soon and that doesn't last and that doesn't satisfy. I want to give you something real, but you have to take your mask off so that I can see you. Because this mask is a barrier for God's grace. This mask is a barrier for God's love, for God's spirit. God won't penetrate the mask that we create for ourselves, the costumes that we wear. It's only when we take them off, and like the tax collector just says, God, be merciful to me. He says a sinner, which just the translation of the word is, be merciful to me, a guy that's missed it. You know, sin, whenever you see sin in the Bible, it's an archery term. Somebody has pulled back a bow and they've missed, and when they miss the target, it's called a sin. I missed. I was aiming at something and I missed it. This is it. We've missed it. And the cross, the message of the cross of Christ, is that Jesus went to the cross and was a failure, was lonely, was rejected. So that we can look to him and recognize that he knows exactly what it is that's going on inside. So there's one person in the universe that we don't have to lie to, because Jesus looks at us and says, not only do I see you, but I feel you. I know what you're going through, and goes all the way to the point of death. Jesus is killed and is buried, but then 3 days later, of course, rises again. To say that I can take care of every fear that you have, including death. That's why Paul can say, I'm now poured out like a drink offering. I have run the race. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. He's welcoming the end of his life with such joy, not because he's excited to go, but because he knows that the one who has conquered every fear of his life, including the fear of death, will be there to meet him on the other side. And when he says a crown, you know, he's doing the victor crown. That's the imagery from the Olympics of getting the crown that you get if you won the race. He says the reward he's getting at the end is life, not death. So my encouragement to all of us this Halloween, as we're looking at the mask, as we're considering all that, and we're having a great time, which I plan on having a great time, is consider our own masks, our own real life masks. And maybe this is the year that you say, God, I recognize the fact that I have been wearing a mask for too long. I've been trying to keep up with my community. I've been trying to keep up with friends. I've been trying to keep up in my society. I've been trying to keep up with something. And I am recognizing now, I don't have what it takes. But I want to be accepted by you and find the life that you are offering to me. Amen.